All right, let me pray. Maybe God will intervene. Father, we do just come to you, submitting to your ultimate authority, submitting to your good pleasure and plan for our lives, and not always understanding or knowing what that is, but we want to be people who, again, are committed and submissive to that. And so teach us this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I have to confess, I hate this spiritual discipline. Of all the ones that, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of fasting, as you could probably tell. But this spiritual discipline is very challenging for me personally, because I just think people are generally not as smart as they think they are, including myself. And to be submissive, so let me just give an example. So in case you don't know your biblical history, Israel started off as one nation, and then it kind of split after three kings to the southern, which was Judah, and the northern, which was Israel. So take a guess of how many good kings were in the northern portion of Israel. Of all the kings, how many good kings were there? Anybody know? That's right. Zero. Zero. And of the 20 kings in the southern tribe, again, not including the three, which we could argue whether Saul was a good king, David was a good king, Solomon was a good king, excluding those three, of the southern kingdom, there were 20 kings, and only 8 of them were good kings. And so it seems that left to our own devices, we will choose not as wisely as we think we are, which again is why this spiritual discipline is challenging for me. And I'm just going to share a little bit of my personal story. You can judge me, that's all right. I think I've already mentioned it a little bit and why this is challenging. But at Washington Bible College, Capital Bible Seminary, we had a new president that came, and it turned out in hindsight that he ran our seminary into the ground. So it's closed, it doesn't exist anymore. That's why I don't have a job. It got taken over by another institution. But here's the challenge for me. I saw this guy coming, and when we chose him as an institution, and then I needed to submit to his authority, I could tell that there was going to come a day where our institution was going to close. In fact, 99% of the faculty did not want this president here, but yet we all remained quiet for a while and submissive for a while. So again, I think there is challenges to this, but yet you and I are called to the spiritual discipline of submission. So what does it mean? What does it look like? And I would agree that the Chinese community does this better than most communities. But I would say even within the Chinese community, would it be a fair assessment to say that the younger submit to the older, but do the older submit to the younger in Chinese community? Probably not as much, right? Like, could y'all imagine Garrett? Like, would you submit to Garrett? Like, maybe you would. He's a good. But it generally, the submission of a culture is that the older are wiser and more in charge of knowing what they're doing, and the younger, which most of the time is true, well, we don't know what we're doing as well. So Ephesians 5:21, which is kind of the overarching theme verse, says that you and I are to submit to one another. And here's why that's important. If you've studied the book of Ephesians, we were just told in chapter 3 and 4, that, especially in chapter 4, that you and I are part of the body, and that God has given some apostles, some prophets, some teachers for the working of all of us together so that we can grow up. Well, if we're not submissive to one another, we're not going to function as a body. So if I don't allow you to serve in your God-given role and you don't step up, then we're not going to function well together as a body. So just some other I guess, definitions on the opposite end, what submission isn't or what it shouldn't look like, is rebellion. And again, that's why it was challenging for me before I became a Christian. I was very rebellious, ranking over or lording or ruling. So that's kind of the opposite of what submission is. So submission would be you and I voluntarily ranking myself under you and valuing, here's the important part, valuing you as more important than me. That's the idea behind submission, that I believe that your desires, your goals, that I'm here to make your dreams come true. In fact, I think the church mission statement in generally could learn a lot from Home Depot. Most churches are, come join us, come see what we're doing, and find your place among us and fit into what we're doing. Home Depot, you can probably finish it. You can do it. We can help. I really think that is a better mission statement for a church, is you can do it. You can do it. We can help. We can help you fulfill your God-given vision, the goal, the passions that God has given you. Instead of saying, well, we're not really reaching out to that group, but come join us with this group. And again, there is some of that, but I think we could do a better job if we got behind your passion, your giftedness, your desire. So again, I have to put some of my needs, my desires, my wants, my longings, my thoughts, my attitudes, my opinions aside and above yours. So looking at a few passages, which we're going to do, and we're going to look at a few of them to get a picture of this biblically and then how we can practice it. So the main one that I just mentioned is Ephesians 5:21, and that's kind of the capstone for this section that a lot of men love, at least part of it. As a person who does counseling, I wish I was kidding, but I'm not. I have men come and sit down with their wife and say, "Fix her. She's not submitting to me." And I want to get a baseball bat at that point. But really, that's literally the problem in our marriage, is she's not submissive. Well, okay. Wife, go ahead and go home. I need some time with your husband alone. So Ephesians 5:21, after it gives this, well, let's start with verse 15 if you have a copy of the scriptures. So Ephesians 5, I'll start in 15 and I'll read through 6:1. Ephesians 5:15. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because these days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, addressing, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So again, what's going to follow, and we're going to read that, this is the capstone to submit to one another. And then there are some specific ways that you and I are called to submit. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and he himself is its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, this is where my fellows stop reading, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor with spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So really the goal of the husband isn't to get his wife to submit to her. It's her well-being and growth and edification. I am to live in my house with my wife in a way that sees her growth. In other words, going back to Home Depot, honey, you can do it. I can help. That's what I should be as a husband, and that's what, in many ways, she should be as a wife. Then, in the same way, the husband should love their wives as they love their own body, for no one ever hated his own flesh, just as Christ does the church. Then, we are all members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to a wife, the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers now to Christ and the church. So you and I are to live in a submissive posture as each one. And then in 6, we get the command, 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So in other words, submit to one another. Children, you are to be submissive to your parents. Parents, you're to live in an honorable way to Christ. And then here we get the wonderful bondservants or slaves. Obey your earthly master. And then in order to make this all work, we find out we're going to need the armor of God, because there is no way that you and I are going to live in this submissive posture. Because really, who's the most important person to you? You are, right? You are. So you're not, and I'm not. I don't know how much we really get this. Christianity is not a self-help improvement concept. You're not going to be able to do this apart from yielding to the Spirit of God. There is no way that you're going to live the way that the Bible commands you to unless you're walking in obedience with the Scripture. It is impossible to will yourself to go, all right, I will it. I'm going to make everybody's more important than me. I mean, there's just, that goes so against it. Wives, you're not going to want to be submissive to a knucklehead husband on your own strength. Guys, you're not going to want to love her as Christ loves the church when she says, on Sunday afternoon, turn off the football game and let's watch Terms of Endearment or some chick flick movie. You're going Redskins, girl movie. No, honey, go away. There's just no way you're going to do that. So I think you and I need to recognize that all of these spiritual disciplines are about you and I living in a way that's obedient first to the Spirit of God and submissive to Him. If I were a citizen living in the Northern Tribe, I would think, and come on, you've probably thought this once or twice in your life, God has no clue what he's doing. Just none. How can he know what he's doing and put a bunch of knucklehead kings in office? There's just no way that he can know what he's doing. So you and I have to get to that place where we ultimately place our confidence and trust that he does indeed know what he's doing. Because then we have this passage, Romans 13:1. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except for God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. So let me just ask an honest question, if you could raise your hand. How many of you sped on the way coming to church this morning? How many of you exceeded the speed limit? The rest of you are lying. You're thinking, well, what was the speed limit? I'm not really sure if I did or not. How many of you have ever been down a road that was like a 25 and you know you could go 55? You're like, who's the person who put the speed limit in here? And so then you start going 55, right? Because you think to yourself, I know better than these governing authorities. So just so that you know, everybody who sped on the way here sinned this morning. Well, that's an acceptable sin, though, I know. So Romans 13:1 says that unless it's contradictory to the laws of God that you, and speeding, although it may be stupid, isn't contrary to the law of God. Therefore, if you decide to be the judge and jury and you decide, hey, look, it should be 65 at least, so I'm going 65. then you are being disobedient. So you have to submit to the laws of the government. And we're going to, again, just walk through a few of these before we put it all together. And then lastly, we'll look at Jesus as our greatest example. 1 Peter 5, verse 1 of chapter 5, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, as a partaker in the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion. So I shouldn't be guilted to lead. I shouldn't be made to lead. It should be something I should want to do, willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those you are in charge, but being examples, as when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So there is an authority structure that is in God's church where there are ruling elders among us, and you and I are to submit to those elders. They are to rule well. But if they don't rule well, we don't go, okay, well, we don't have to obey them. But here's the bottom line. Whether you're an elder or one who is submissive to the elder, all of us need to do what's in verse 5. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So this first row of young students, do you feel like you want to be submissive to them? Like, do you think they know what they're doing? Or does the passage not include kids? It says, as long as they're a part of the body of Christ, that there's a way to live among them to submit to one another. And again, we're going to talk about what that looks like a little bit, especially as it's opposed to younger people. Just a few more passages, and then we'll put it all together. Hebrews 13, just read this one verse, 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So, here's the good news, the bad news. Those who are elders are given authority to rule, but they are also going to be judged the most severely by God. So every Sunday morning that I come here and stand before here, I'm just asking for it. Because it says in James, those who teach are going to be judged more severely than those who don't teach. So every time I just say, yes, I'll teach, I'm asking for judgment. I'm getting it. I guarantee that you're getting it. Because you and I, as we step out and lead, and we should do it eagerly, but know that God, and this is kind of the big theme, you and I are accountable to one another. I'm accountable to God. I'm accountable to you for what I say, how I behave. No person in here is an island who gets to do whatever they want, however they want, contrary to what my son thinks from time to time. Be subject, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution. So this is the same thing that's in Hebrews. And then James 4:7, which is the last one. Anybody have this memorized? Real short. I'll bet if I start it, you can finish it. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist. That's a good person to resist. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's James 4:7. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee to you. And then the last verse is Philippians, which is this attitude that Christ had, and we're going to look at him in a minute. So, What are the areas that you and I are to be submissive in? What does this submission look like? The first one is God. So, you know, I still remain very, very, very unexcited about the prospects of moving to Australia. Just being honest, it's just where I'm at. My wife is probably less excited about the prospects of moving to Australia. But according to this passage, if I'm living my life in obedience to God, if God says, to Australia you shall go, to Australia I shall go. Now, we're hoping that something happens in the meantime that interrupts that, but if it doesn't, be submissive to God. That's the same with you. What God tells you to do, including everything that you read in His Word, like what you just read this morning, if you're submissive to God, it says, clothe yourselves in humility. So your refusal, or if you decide to ignore that verse, then you're not being submissive to God. Obviously, you and I are called to be submissive to this word. It says that it's given by inspiration by God and that all of it is profitable for teaching, correcting, rebuking, training in righteousness so that you and I might be thoroughly equipped to do God's work. So that's a primary means by which you and I need to be submissive. We already read this. You and I need to be submissive to one another, to our government, whether you agree with them or not. And again, this would be in any area that, unless God disagrees. So when it comes to the area of abortion, for example, which is clear, I don't have to agree, and I don't know what submission would look like. I don't have to support that, and we have the privilege of voting, so I can choose to let leaders. I could even protest if I wanted to, but what I probably couldn't do and shouldn't do is go blow up. Well, I definitely shouldn't do that. Buildings with people committing abortion or attacking people. Or if I oppose homosexualities, I'm sure you've all seen this church on the news. God hates faggots. You know, you've seen this where there are people who, this is terrible, who their kid got killed in war. They're standing along as the procession goes and they're holding up protest signs. God hates gays. God hates you. God hates your family. That's why he died, because he was gay or some crazy thing. I don't have the right to do that. That's not submissive. That's not in love. Obviously, we already looked at this one, that you and I should be submissive to those who are in authority. There's just a certain respect. And again, I think Asians do this better than Caucasian culture. African Americans do this as well, mostly towards the females. But Caucasians, not real well with those who are gray-haired among us. So there is a lot that we can learn. Wives to husbands, and then to the family, which is the whole context of what's occurring here. So that you and I should be submissive to one another. And really just that means that there's an openness that you and I have. All right, so just, and this came up at the retreat, when we went through, I think, the spiritual discipline of service and sacrifice. What it doesn't mean is that you and I are a doormat. Now, this is an interesting example, so I make a little bit of a caveat. A doormat unless God otherwise leads. Let me just, as I was researching this again for this past Sunday, I came across most people were saying that you should only be submissive to the people who are worthy of you being submissive to. So in other words, they were arguing that you wouldn't want to be submissive to somebody who hasn't earned your trust, who might abuse you or something like that. And I thought, well, that doesn't align with them. I mean, that might be good wisdom, and I would say that's good advice. But would you call Jesus a doormat? And again, there was a little bit of disagreement, but I just want to say, so some of you say yes, some of you say no. Here's what I would say. Jesus allowed people to spit in his face. Jesus allowed people to pull his beard. So if the definition of submissiveness was that you and I are only submissive to the people who deserve it, so Jesus said to the Roman government, he allowed the soldiers who were tormenting him, he was submissive to them. He allowed them to, they weren't worthy of it. In fact, I would say most people, including in the end Pontius Pilate, where we're going to look at this, You have no authority over you except for what is in heaven, but he still remained submissive. Now, the difference is, and so this is the caveat that I would say, Jesus always was coming from a place of strength. He had internal strength, and he could have, and he says it, I could have called 12 legions of angels. So when I say submissive, I don't think that you and I should be doormats in the sense that we feel so lowly, we feel so insignificant, we don't know who we are in Christ, that we remain in a relationship with someone who is abusing us, and we just feel like we have no freedom to get out. And that, to me, is, again, not healthy. But a good example would be missionaries who are called to, in many cases, are not treated well, the conditions, the people, and they might have to act in a way or allow them to act towards them in a way that demonstrates Christ-like character. So the bottom line in the doormat is that you and I need to have a great deal of wisdom when it comes to this. So again, you don't lose your identity, you don't understand your individuality, and certainly, I would say clearly, forced submission is not what we're talking about here. It's a voluntarily choosing to allow yourself. So I counsel people all the time. Their husband is not worthy of their staying. They've been abusive. They've been cheating. They've done lots of things. Do they have a right to leave? Perhaps they have a right to leave. Should they leave? Wisdom might say they should leave. Would they demonstrate Christ-like character by staying? They could demonstrate Christ-like character by staying. If Jesus responded to you and I only by the way that you and I responded to him, you and I would be in trouble. So if it's a reciprocal relationship that says, I'll be worthy of your love, so only love me in a way that is worthy of that love, you and I would not receive love because we're not worthy of that love. So again, I think there's a lot of wisdom that needs to come when you choose to stay in a relationship that doesn't look favorable for you in the end. All right, so the bottom line behind all of this, and this is what it gets back to. Ultimately, submission is you and I have got to have confidence that God is God, that God knows what he's doing in Israel. Why would God allow all bad kings? Why would he allow that? I mean, I don't know that I have the answer, but he did. So God allows things to happen, and you and I have to trust him. Why would he allow you to have cancer? Why would he allow you to have a miscarriage? Why won't he heal Lucas? I have a son who can't. Why? So you and I can ask why, but God doesn't have to answer those things. And so I think submission is ultimately you and I coming to him and saying, I trust you. I trust that you know what you're doing, even if you send me into a dangerous place, even if you put me in a dangerous predicament, and even if you do what I think ought to be done. So it's a voluntarily, that's the key word, not forced, it's voluntarily surrendering and yielding. This is what Jesus said when he said, take up your cross, deny yourself, and come follow me. Denying of oneself, you can't get any more denial than submission, yielding yourself unto another. So, obviously, we've already looked at a lot of ways. Fear God would be key. Trust in him. Obey the law. Maybe you and I might go the speed limit on the way home. Probably not. Put God first. Allow God to be in charge of your life. Allow him. Follow the church leadership. Maybe you don't like a decision that they make. Maybe you don't like the song selection. Maybe you don't like my sermon. Again, just allow yourself to have a submissive posture. Doesn't mean your opinion doesn't matter. Doesn't mean the leadership doesn't want to hear your opinion. But the idea that we keep leaving and we're going to go to this other church and this other church because, well, The people there are just as human as the people here. Honor those who are older and more gray-haired than you. Listen more and talk less. Boy, if we just applied that one right there. Listen more and talk less. And then finally, the last one, meet another person's needs. Choose to go out of your way, putting your own needs, your own desires, your own wants in order to satisfy the longings, the desires, the wishes of someone else. Ultimately, all of this is about putting aside, and this is the last one, freedom from the obsession to demand that things go the way I want them to go. Because when you demand that things have to go the way that you want them to be, you're saying that you're the smartest person in the room. And quite honestly, you just might be. Therefore, practice the spiritual discipline of submission by choosing not to be in control, choosing not to get your own way, choosing to have someone else be in charge and do it the way that they would want. The greatest and most beautiful picture of this in the New Testament, which is where I will end, is the picture of Jesus. And in John 13, this is what it says. You know, I'm sure are familiar. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up and said, "Bow down before me." So he got up and said, "I'm in charge. Y'all need to kiss my ring, kiss my feet." I mean, just think about it. The text of Scripture tells us that he knew that God had put all things under his power, under his authority. He knew he came from God and he knew he was returning from God. So he got up from the table with that knowledge just fresh in his mind. And he took off his outer clothing, wrapped himself in a towel, poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet. Make the connection between Jesus knowing that he had all authority, knowing that he all had power, knowing that he could just go dead and you would drop dead on the ground. Or he could say, "Dance," and you would dance and make a... I mean, whatever he commanded, it would happen. He could call 12 legions of angels. Instead, Jesus meditating on the thought that God had given him all authority, took off his outer garments and washed the disciples' feet. With the knowledge that he had power, he chose to take the lowest position in the room and serve. See, that's what I think you and I are called to. So this is the best example. Is it a lowly position? Yes. Is it a dirty position? Yes. Will people think less of him? Yes. They constantly did as a result of what he did. But he was confident in the Father's care, and so he allowed himself to take on a submissive posture to the Father and to those around him and wash the disciples' feet. So I would just commission and charge you to do the same. Jesus is our example. Spend some time in John 13 later on this week. Memorize maybe this passage so that you and I can put on an attitude of humility and submissiveness. Father, again, want to commit this to you. I'm almost certain there's nothing new or magical or life-changing per se in anything that I've shared here this morning. This is information that we are familiar with, that we understand, but we don't always choose to obey. And so I would pray that we would make that connection, that you had all power and you used that power to serve and to love other people. May we not demand that people be submissive. May we demonstrate that we're followers of you by the submissive posture that we can take only by being filled by your Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.